Radio.com.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
The boss is back!
Just in case you've forgotten,
Triple H is my favorite wrestler.
You were an ass long before I made one out of you.
With your host, Tim Stein.
There's nothing more pathetic than an aging hipster.
Mace.
Look at my sexy body.
Omega.
Nerd alert.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Mo! Bloody Mo! We're not supposed to talk about the bloody Mo, but there's a bloody Mo winking me in the face.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake. And you know what you're listening to? You're listening to Wild Talk. That's why they're trying to cage me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the best brand of professional wrestling, sports entertainment, ends its year on one of the most amazing events they have ever put on, leading the way into 2015 with not a single fan unsatisfied. We'll also be talking about WWE's TLC tonight. Opinions.
Yeah, we do.
And hopefully after this we can talk some our evolution and get our minds off of it. But that's for later. For now, I am the Omega, the be-all end all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
I am so disappointed in this that not even my Ultimate Warrior Nightlight can cheer me up.
Nothing can light this dark world I live in.
Not even the Matrix can light our darkest hour.
And since Tim is otherwise occupied, I don't know where he is. I assume he's off masturbating somewhere. Sir Rockin, the producer.
Well, he said it was snowing where he was at, so...
Yeah, but we play cars on Saturday with a lot of definitions for that.
Well, I know. And, well, he could say that he went over 12 inches, but, you know.
It was a turfucking
Which is a thing, by the way. Turfucking is a thing. Look it up. You'll be
Didn't Lindsay post a photo of that the other day?
This afternoon. Yeah, because yeah. No, she posted a photo of Turfurky, and well, we were talking about Turfucking last night during Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, I invented a phrase that apparently actually meant something.
Yeah, when you shove the turkey into a purse. Anyway, not gonna go there.
It's never happened.
Never. Until Mega tries it at some point.
No.
It gets... oh, right. No, King Kins tries it at some point. That's what's going
to
happen.
If I were to ever try that on a person, it would have to be Lita or Sunny or a fucking Sarlacc. There's nothing else that could fit it.
Coming soon to the... Anyway, I'm not going to even do that plug. The producer's watching.
I can't even do that plug.
Apparently it's not feasible to do that plug. But the producer's watching football, and his Eagles are losing by only, what, 8 points. So, still time.
Hey, you had 24 unanswered points. That's a pretty good run.
It was a pretty good run. It helped some of this pay-per-view.
Nothing could help this pay-per-view. Stop lying.
This pay-per-view wasn't all bad.
You fucking lie!
Did I say the whole thing was good? No.
It has bright spots.
This pay-per-view had bright spots.
Yes, but so does a cancer cell.
Before we get into tables, letters, and chairs, and stairs, oh my, let's talk about what you guys were talking about in the intro, and that's NXT R Evolution.
No, that's dessert.
No, we're going to
choke down the Brussels sprout dinner first.
We're going to talk about this first. I want to get it out of the way first.
Oh, come on!
Because we're doing our segment, win and fail. You have a win from Thursday night.
You want a specific win? Because I'm just going whole
show. This, if we're going to go back to this,
we're going to go back. Pick something out of it that you really, really like. Just one thing, right off the bat.
Baylor's entrance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Omega
and I, comic geeks. Finn Balor comes out as a Carnage fucking symbiote. Of course, that's what we're going to. It's
fucking demonic. Like, as soon as you could see him through the smoke, all you could see is the teeth painted on the neck, and he's moving his head up and down, so it's this big demonic maw. It's, oh my god!
And he had the tendrils around his wrists and his head, and the whole crawling to the ring the entire way, like a full blown fucking psychotic animal.
The timed light flashes.
Oh. And here it is, you know. Everybody goes, oh, you know, people in NXT don't really get much of a personality. Then you see this.
Which, if they debuted him like that, that would have been fantastic. But we had a month where he wasn't that and just didn't...
Got a feeling that had to do with the fact that if you actually go and watch any of his stuff as Prince Devitt, he not only did the symbiotes from the Marvel comics, he did, like, the Joker, he did Hannibal Lecter, he's done Bane.
Right.
Dude has gone, like, as geeky with his references as possible for his entrances. I think they were trying to find a way that they can get around the legality of those costumes.
Yeah.
Right, and they came up with a look that now they can market on a shirt, because he has a shirt on WWEshop.com right now.
Kevin Owens has a fucking shirt on WWEshop.com right now, and he debuted on Thursday.
I read something on a website, basically, you know, they should change, as in style of Vince McMahon, Kevin Owens should be called Owen Kevins, and you should change the KO to OK, and we can sell OK t-shirts. Because that's Vince McMahon's thinking of doing things.
Yeah, that'll be when he gets called up to the main roster, because God forbid we actually let people go intact with unique gimmicks to the main roster.
So, we know that...
You know, I'm looking at the Ascension, by the way.
And that was going to be lead into... So could that be a fail of the week, the Ascension promo?
Why did he paint a triangle on his head?
Why did they go from having a really sort of an Egyptian-style look with a bit of a gothic gimmick to just being Road Warrior light?
He's got this downward triangle on his head. Mace, follow me on this. He looks like the Evil Universe version of Aang from Airbender.
I just thought they also looked like a bad version of Demolition. I don't know why.
Mortal Kombat characters.
It's like... All I could see was this is just a rehash of an old gimmick. When these guys had a unique look and a unique attitude in NXT... And then, oh, we're just going to make you a replay of something from the 80s. Yeah. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. There's nothing really positive you can say about that. I'm not looking for it to. I'm really not looking. I wasn't impressed with the Ascension at TakeOver. I think they're not going to do
it. No, that wasn't one of their best matches either.
And honestly, in what, 6-8 months that I've been watching them, I am not overly impressed with them.
They were impressive when they debuted.
But you're supposed to get better.
Then one half of the team left and ended up going to TNA.
Which is...
The dude they replaced him with was boring as batshit.
Which their TNA is ending their run superbly with Impact Wednesday night, I think at either 10 or 11 starting time. And then the other one on Christmas Eve day at midnight.
Yeah. Wait, you mean Spike TV is fucking over a wrestling company as they leave? The shock!
Well, it's the best of shows. No one cares anyhow. They gave them their time slot on their way out. So, yeah, you're supposed to get better as you go on, and the Ascension sort of hasn't, again, they really haven't, again, when they haven't let them do any sort of real matches, except for a couple of the TakeOver shows, and they really weren't that impressive.
Well, unfortunately, they did the same thing that they're doing to, like, fucking Rusev. You know, dominant, and then they'll get beaten at some point, and nobody will give a shit after that.
Right.
You know, that's the biggest issue, is that they went, and then they lost to the Lucha Dragons of all fucking people. And since then, the attention's been on the Lucha Dragons, and nobody really gave a shit about the Ascension.
Because, and no one cares about the Lucha Dragons, because it's Sin Cara.
Yeah. poor Kalisto.
Poor Kalisto. And as the guy said, we'll get into our NXT TakeOver Our Evolution here after we get done Tables, Letters, Chairs, and Stairs. But before we get into that, a word from our sponsor.
Yabba dabba doo!
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones, they're the Bonnie Shorty family. From the town of Bedrock, they're a prisoner. That's right, with the family dynasty. Through the courtesy of Prince and Pete, when you're with the Flintstones, have a yabba dabba do time, a dabba do time, we'll have a gay old time.
That's what that match seemed like a plug for, since they spent.
I just got a tweet that says that WWE is putting out a Flintstones movie. Is that true? Did you hear about that? Yeah, I heard about that.
They spend like...
Oh, my God.
They spend like 5 or 10 minutes talking about the Great Gazoo. No, seriously, that's not a sponsor. That was a joke.
Could you hear the crowbar cranking away at this match? Just fucking force the whole thing in there.
I love the fact that he had to Google the Great Gazoo to show Jerry Lawler who it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, none of the girls Lawler dated ever watched the Flintstones.
No, they're too young for the Flintstones.
Hey, I saw the Flintstones.
You're too old for Jerry Lawler.
Aww.
I know, that breaks your heart. You're wishing.
Crash my hopes and dreams.
I know you're wishing for that dream date with the king, but sorry, you're too old for the king.
Need a pint of Haagen-Dazs and Man on the Moon.
So the pre-show had The New Day versus Golden Stardust. We had Great Gazoo references. We don't say 999 anymore enough. And I took away from it the announcers were bored.
Okay. Can I say something about the whole 999 thing? Just to slightly sidetrack to something that's actually a little bit better. New Japan Pro Wrestling has recently started up their streaming platform, known as NJPWWorld.com.
New Japan World, yeah. New Japan World.
Right. Guess how much their service is per month?
$9.99.
Yep, 999 yen.
Coincidence? I think not.
And even at 999 yen, it is still fucking cheaper than the WWE Network.
Not by much.
Not by much.
Have you seen the exchange rates?
Yeah, the dollar's pretty good on the yen right now.
Last time I heard it was like 8-something U.S.
Okay, I'll put it to you this way. I'm collecting these Nintendo toys they're making now for like, they're like $13 a pop at Walmart. I just ordered a bunch out of Japan for $9 a pop. That's how much better the exchange rate is.
Yeah, and we're getting 100 yen to the dollar here in Australia. So it actually seems worth it if I can work out their fucking payment options. But anyway. I just thought it was funny. 999 yen.
Yeah.
Turkey, Japan.
Because, you know, that's what they want to do. They started their own WWE Network, basically. And they're not trying to hide that fact, either. What do you think of the match?
There was a match. All I could hear was the great Gazoo jokes and fucking green dust.
Yeah, let's talk about green dust. What the hell?
Mold dust.
Looked like the Green Ranger on crack.
Yeah.
No, I'll take that back. He looks like someone took a Green Ranger action figure outside and melted it with a magnifying glass.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say about this match, because I really just wrote it off straight out the gate.
It was a match, I think.
Anything to do with the New Day, I'm instantly writing off. I just can't stand them.
Since Omega was disappointed we didn't get to talk about the New Day last week, Omega, talk about the New Day.
It's a thing. I really don't give a crap. I'll keep saying it. You know, I don't think this black evangelical gimmick is any less racist than the new age, new Nation of Domination they originally wanted. And it's really not doing anything for anyone. They're just kind of there and they're happy.
They're three guys who are happy wearing baby blue.
Yeah, they're three guys who are real happy about their blue laundry. That's all I know about them.
They just changed outfits. They're still the same three people we saw before.
Also, wasn't the whole point, like, they're going, like, with, like, the Freebird rule, where you don't know which two you're wrestling, and every match I've seen has been Kofi and Big E?
No, I think Xavier wrestled one match. I think it was on Main Event, SmackDown, one of the two. I think Xavier won the Rock, Paper, Scissors contest, or Odds and Evens, whatever the hell they do before a match. But, yeah, and apparently Big E and Kofi didn't know who was legal at the very end, because the ref had to say, Kofi's legal! And Big E had to get out of the ring.
And Goldust just had to kind of stand there waiting for Big E to get out of the way before he tried to make the save.
You idiots. Like, you should know the finish. And I guess they do the big ending with Kofi doing some sort of move in... You can sack him anytime you want, guys.
It looks like he's just... Wait. Are you talking to the football game?
Yes. I was talking to you guys and the football game at the same time, yes.
Okay, because it sounded like you wanted Kofi fired there for a second.
No. It was like they could have sacked him.
You know what? That would actually be a fucking improvement to that guy's career at this point.
Like, Kofi hasn't changed anything he does at this point.
This is like the first time in his career that he's actually changed gimmick in any way, shape, or form, and he's still just doing the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. He's Kofi Kingston with blue pants. And the NXT blue pants is more over than the WWE blue pants. Just pointing that one out.
I don't know. The most entertainment I got out of the match was when I thought I heard Goldust drop an F-bomb.
No, I think you said frack or something.
Wait till probably next week and it'll be on Botchamania if it did happen.
Because I know, I know NXT, our newest color commentator, dropped one.
Oh, Corey, you got a bright future.
You sound good in the booth, but you gotta be careful. People can hear you now.
Exactly. So the New Day picked up the win. Yay, they won. They've won every match except for one. Yay.
Yay, and I'm 0-1 so far. Tonight, I don't think, was my night for picking winners and losers.
Yeah, I'll think I'll grab the result sheet here in a bit. So, like I said, there were bright spots on this pay-per-view, including the opening match.
Welcome to the one and only bright spot on the fucking pay-per-view.
Oh.
See, I disagree with that, but we'll get to that. Luke Harper and Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship in a ladder match, and these two boys just didn't care and were killing each other with a ladder.
Yeah, this was one of those things, like, I said in the beginning, I've been saying this since the NXT show, these guys tonight literally had to go out and kill each other in order to have anything close to what the NXT guys put on. What do? They open up with the two guys who would more than likely actually kill each other doing their shit. And fuck me, they got close. Like, at one point, Luke Harper, I thought he actually broke his arm diving through the ladder.
That was... Ow.
That didn't look like it tingled.
No.
There was much ouchies.
Yeah, there were. on that one, yeah. So, we had Ziggler was bleeding throughout the match.
Yep.
Yeah. Luke slashed his arm open.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they
did
just...
Did he slash it twice? Because I saw one near the shoulder and then another one I thought was on the underside of the arm.
Maybe some of that was Ziggler blood? I don't know.
I think the underside of the arm was the cut and the shoulder was Ziggler blood.
Okay. It's hard to keep track.
It's hard to
keep... It's so rare when I see blood anymore.
And then they quickly came down, tried to, you know, stop the blood a little bit. They crashed through ladders. They took some big falls. Pretty good opener, I would say.
Indeed. And yeah. You noticed one thing that these guys did that the other matches didn't?
Bleed.
Well, besides that, they stuck to their gimmick weapon.
Oh, we're going to get into that. Oh my god, I have opinions.
So Dolph Ziggler superkicks Harper off a ladder and picks up the win, pulls down the belt, is the new Intercontinental Champion.
Ziggler was surprised.
I was surprised too, but then when they positioned it as the opener, not so much.
I put that as my prediction. And I was thrilled when I heard it was the opener, because, like, yes, this means they're going to go over. And then I remember, oh, shit, he's the hometown boy.
And he's been hometown boying it all day. He went to the Browns game earlier in the day. Didn't do them any luck, but he was there.
Speaking of hometown boys, one of them didn't get a pop tonight.
See, that's why I didn't do it the Browns any good, because he was there, too. It kind of counterbalances.
So yeah, they had a really good opener. Crowd was into it. Really good stuff. Ziggler, again, is your Intercontinental Champion.
Please, dear God, do something with him in the next year. Please. The guy has proved it so many ways at this point.
Well, yeah, he has, but there are people above him, I think, still.
Not many. If anyone's on the cusp, it's him.
Yeah, but there's some... We'll get to someone who's probably a step above him later. Tag team titles. The Usos versus Miz and Mizdow.
Mizdow, who is now covered in toys when he comes out.
He's got the two fake title belts and the mini slammy.
And still got more of a pop than Miz in Miz's hometown. Can't really say much about this match, as it's Usos versus Miz and Sandow. This was as good as it gets with these guys.
Like
the Usos jumped a lot.
Like the NXT Art Takeover Our Evolution show. The match built to a leaping dive over the top rope, like every match on that show just about did. If you think about it, go back and you look, every match except for like one led to a dive over the top rope. Yeah, this was an Uso Mizdow Miz match. It ended with Miz and Mizdow trying to leave. They Usos dove. Then Miz used a slammy. got the disqualified, then beat them down with the slammy.
And you missed the part where Miz shoved his stunt double into the path of Seth Dives.
That's right.
And Mizdow not happy about that afterwards.
He's tired of taking the falls for the Miz.
Yeah, he's starting to get agitated because he's getting the now it's starting to play out the way we've been expecting it to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's starting to get sick of Miz's shit.
They finally grabbed a hold of the gun and are ready to pull the fucking trigger.
Maybe.
Give the man
Let's
a brass ring.
Hope so. Yeah. There's anybody who needs to find that box of brass rings that was missing after Thursday. It's Sandow.
So I'll be so happy when we can call him that again.
So the Usos pick up the win, but Miz and Mizdow retain the gold.
See, the hard part about Mizdow is once you send him off on his own, what does he do?
Nothing.
Now, because the whole gimmick to him is reliant on him being with The Miz.
Yes.
This is a key issue if you're going to split them off.
I know. I think that's why they're waiting to do it. They're struggling to come up with an idea. So
here's what you do. Here's what you do. Every match Sandow has, he comes out second, and he has the exact same entrance as his opponent. Same music, same pyro, same lights. He does the same poses, same everything. He uses his opponent's finishers. You make him a doppelganger.
I think that would get old after a while.
Look at what he's doing now. The man was doing a headstand in the match tonight. This is a gimmick that should have gotten old in 2 weeks, and he's stretched out this far because he keeps going farther with it.
True. So, we move on to the first ever Steel Stairs match. Eric Rowan and The Big Show. Any other intelligent thoughts on this match?
There's nothing intelligent about the match.
The only thing that was intelligent about this entire thing was Luke making Tetris blocks.
Again! Luke? Okay.
You obviously missed the
I got it.
Conversation at that point.
No, I got it. I got it. I'm just making sure. Yeah, you know.
But this felt like they didn't even know what the match was supposed to be this afternoon.
Tetris blocks.
Yeah, that's where we left.
The only thing the match did, the only thing it succeeded in, was diminishing the steel stairs. That's it. Because that's the thing that's like the biggest thing you could pick up ringside and hit somebody with. And now they're just playing whack-a-mole with it.
Yeah, and the same can be said about chairs, ladders, and tables as well.
Yeah, it used to be, you know, even a chair shot was enough to put someone out completely. And now it's just, well, yeah, it's not, it's like you start a match with the damn thing.
It's cartoony now. It's just, bonk.
Yeah, everyone in the WWE now has the recovery rate of Wile E. Coyote.
I reckon Ziggler is actually Wile E. Coyote.
There's some spots in this match where he just needed a little help sign to hold up.
Pretty much. And Dean Ambrose is Goofy.
Goofy. So that would make Miz Daffy Duck.
We're going to start putting way too much thought into this idea. recast the WWE as Disney and Warner Brothers cartoon characters.
Coming up later in Quick Hits. Wonder what your question's going to be. No.
Who framed John Cena? Stairs.
Stairs. Stairs.
Stairs. Fucking stupid.
Yeah. Stairs. Fucking retarded idea. By the way, credit to JBL for thinking the same thing I'm thinking with the whole Eric Rowan is secretly intelligent thing. It's like he's meant to be this great chef. He's meant to be this Mensa member, this, that, and the other. But we don't actually know anything about the guy. You're giving us facts. Does he really display any of this? He played with a fucking Rubik's Cube.
He solved it.
So could I with the right fucking stickers.
To sort of back up your point about Eric Rowan being smart, Bray Wyatt was on did an interview with Chad Dukes of a couple weeks ago, and his quote was, "I'm very proud of Rowan sometimes. He's done some things since we split that I haven't necessarily agree with. I'm not so sure he's a genius with a big IQ. I'm actually 100% sure of that." So Bray Wyatt doesn't even believe Eric Rowan is a genius. Playing that one out. So, yeah. So, Big Show apparently won that one. This is the ending I actually missed. I didn't see the ending of this one.
He pinned him underneath the wedge of the stairs.
Stupendous. So there you go. Big Show beats Eric Rowan.
Time for a break.
Ladies and gentlemen, his name is Paul Heyman, and he came to ringside to watch our next match. Tables. John Cena, Seth Rollins.
Way to waste Paul Heyman. You sit him down at the commentary desk, give him a headset, and say, "Paul, talk." And everybody would be entertained. Instead,
tell me about your client.
Yeah. Tell me about your client, or as you did on the pre and post show, don't tell me a fucking thing. And yet you are still entertaining. It would be better than watching this match.
3-on-1, basically, this is what turned out to be. J&J Security were interfering, pulling tables away, going through tables of their own. We had a ref bump. Cena put Rollins through the table, but the J&J Security came in. They cleared the ring of the table like nothing ever happened.
That's the wrong spot. You're supposed to lay Cena out and then put him in the broken table.
Right, yeah. But that you know, it's Mercury and Noble. They weren't that smart on that one.
Yeah, why would I expect planning?
Planning from the J&J Security. So we had a ref bump, and we had different spots, and then we had a spot where both men go through a table at the exact same time, and I had flashbacks. Go ahead.
I will say this about that particular spot. Fuck me, those guys must have either practiced this in advance or somebody has the leveling skills of a master builder. Because even on the slow motion replay, they were dead level and hit at the same time. Like, there was absolutely no way you could... This isn't like, you know, they've done it before, and one guy's gone through, like, a millisecond before or something, and you can see it on the replay, but they just don't acknowledge it. This was both men exact same moment shit. I was impressed.
It gave me flashbacks to the 93 Royal Rumble, then realized, oh, wait, it's not the Rumble, it's just a tables match. So we had one ref said Seth wins, one ref says Cena wins, and then the fish, Mike Chioda, go ahead. I don't know, so we restart match. So
Small.
So they restarted match.
Shut up.
Small.
Shut up.
Small.
Shut up. not a mole. I just know what the fuck these people are going to do.
So, as the matchup restarted, AA onto the announce table, Seth Rollins bounced off the table. So didn't count. He just bounced off it, didn't go through it. Big Show shows up. He starts to do some damage. And then out of nowhere, it's not Randy Orton. Oh, no, no, no. It's the Superstar of the Year. Roman Reigns. He comes in, spears the Big Show. Superman punch to Seth Rollins. AA through table. Your winner, John Cena.
Which just took away from every single thing that the entire match had done.
Mm-hmm.
Cena became inconsequential in his own match.
I don't mind this.
I'm this sorry, is the kind of, I just don't believe in Roman Reigns.
This is the kind of thing where I wonder, well, where the fuck was he when they both went through a table? Where the fuck was he when J&J Security beat him down and got rid of the table that he had won with?
He was still blow-drying his hair? I don't know. I don't got an explanation for
it. He was practicing his lines for his promo.
Believe yeah. that?
Yeah, if you... Yeah.
I will say this. His acting skills have improved.
Yeah, he sounds better. Sounds better. I give him that.
He's learned something.
However, he also promised us that, you know, if you thought there was destruction in the last Rumble, wait till you see what I do this year. Okay, Roman, you got about 2 weeks to show us wrong. Good luck with that.
I meant this year's Rumble, you know, coming up.
I know, but it's a silly statement to make because Rumble's a January event, which means this year it's already happened.
You know what he meant.
It still sounds silly.
Though he did completely freeze up for a second, trying to remember his words. We'll get to that. Anyway, so John Cena wins. Woohoo!
And Cena wins. Have our main event for the Royal Rumble, John Cena versus Brock Lesnar.
Again. I fucking forgot there was a WWE champion right now.
Well, your WWE champion returns at the Royal Rumble. And we will return after this quick timeout. You're tuned in to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Congratulations, Cowboys. You won a game. See how long that lasts. When we come back, we'll talk about the Divas Championship. We'll talk about the Chairs Match of Doom, U.S. title, and then tables, ladders, chairs. Oh, my! Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose, plus some quick thoughts on NXT R Evolution. This is WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
A soldier, and I stay under you fighting, plus I'm storming on you chumps like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way you breaking me, kid, I'm harder than nails, plus I keep it on lock like I'm part of the jail. I'm slaughtering stale competition, I got the whole block wishing they could run with my division, but they gone fishing with no bait. Kid, your boy hold weight, I got my soul straight, I brush your mouth like Colgate. In any weather, I'm never better. Your boy's so hot, you never catch me in the next man's sweater. If they hate, let them hate. I drop your whole clan. Lay your ass down for the 3 second tan.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
We'll be right back.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost! John, Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a jab. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down hit the Dusty Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
That was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. A plug into a segue.
Hey, wait, give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the Real Americans.
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making it. I see them too in action, and I was, like, all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
Wow.
That's, not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I'd seen them face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, I was going to make picks. I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked three. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God. Get the fuck out.
I believe he changed to
Cancer Rock. Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
He coming. Just like bumped my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're covering WWE tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs. And we left off with John Cena winning. And now we come back to, well, I was going to say Mrs. John Cena, but it's only because she wishes to be Nikki Bella, AJ Lee for the Divas Championship. Thoughts? Okay then.
And there you go.
And there you go. Nikki sprayed Nikki sprayed hairspray in the face of AJ.
Yeah, Rick Martelled.
The Rack Attack. And Nikki Bella retained the gold.
I believe it was. No, wait, we're two matches away from that. Sorry, there was an event that happened that sidetracked from one of the matches.
Yeah, I have that about.
It's in a couple of matches time. Okay.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's coming up.
Continue on. I think after or partway through the John Cena Seth Rollins match, I officially looked at my watch and went, "Well, look at that. It's fuck this shit o'clock." That was where I officially stopped giving a shit about this show.
It takes a mighty effort for me to not care about an AJ Lee match, or in this case, a tremendous lack of effort. Nikki's not as bad as she used to be in the ring. She's still nowhere near anything I want to see in a ring.
I'm sorry, but this goes to show how much wrestling has changed to being entertainment-based from being an actual sport. Referees used to do these things known as gear checks, and unless Nikki's had that fucking spray bottle in between her massive tits, she wouldn't have been able to get away with having it.
Or Brie would have given it to her.
Also a possibility, but I can't remember that part of the match. I think Nikki actually had it on her in the match.
Nikki probably did, but if you want to logically get away with it, Brie gave it to her. They could have worked through that if they did the whole pat down thing.
Yeah. But the thing is, they don't do the pat-downs anymore.
Not often.
Because it's sports entertainment.
Well, really, when's the last time you saw a Divas match that actually had something like that happen in it?
Fucking shit ton ago, because if a male referee pats down a diva, everybody starts crying, sexual harassment, rape culture, ah!
First off, Roman entered the Rumble. Yay. Believe that. So, before we continue, legit, he won Superstar of the Year?
Don't care. Fuck Roman Reigns. Fuck this bullshit.
Only because Daniel Bryan was out for so long.
I would have even liked them to give it to John Cena for the second year in a fucking row.
No, Daniel Bryan won last year.
Didn't he? I thought Cena won.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know. I seem to have this thing about people not even being involved in the awards, and I think that they're going to win. So, like, Nolan North is supposed to win Best Voice Actor in the Video Game Awards, even though he wasn't nominated. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of this Roman Reigns push. I just don't see what everybody else sees in him.
I don't mind him. I just wish there was a different dimension to him.
I wish we knew who Roman Reigns was.
I wish there was a fucking dimension to him.
He's a guy with wet hair that punches real hard, Rock.
Oh, boy!
You just described 95% of the fucking UFC.
Anyway, so we have the chairs match.
the other 5% quit on the WWE.
I don't know what to say about the chairs match other than poor Kane.
Whack-a-mole.
It's like poor Kane having to go through that with the Ryback.
Bonk.
So Ryback wins the chairs match, if anyone was surprised by that one. And then we move to our main event. Oh no, wait, forgot one match. That's how forgettable it is. Because the crowd really didn't care because they were looking in another direction. U.S. title, Jack Swagger, Rusev.
Or as it's better, or it's more well known, security guards versus drunken fan in the fifth row.
Yeah. Swagger was making this heroic comeback out of the accolade, and the fans are going, ooh, something's going on over there. Let's watch it over there. Swagger's trying to get them behind him. No. He tried. They had the right spot. They could have got the fans behind him, but drunk fan over there had their attention.
Yeah, even I was like, hey, turn the fucking camera around. I want to see what's going on. I couldn't give a shit about Swagger being put in the accolade. I wanted to see who was getting kicked out. Thank God for Twitter.
Thank God for Twitter. Rusev won and retained his title. Then we get to our main event, tables, ladders, chairs. Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose. I'm going to say this before they tear into it. I really like this match. Now go.
I expected World War III from the way they built this up. I was expecting, you know, these guys to be swimming in their own blood. I expected these guys to use table, ladders, and chairs, not a fucking kendo stick for the first half of the match.
Okay. This is where I get really fucking annoyed. So, it's a TLC match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tables are legal.
Mm-hmm.
Ladder are legal. Chairs are legal. It's a big, brutal match, and they give you a lot of hardware to play with, but there is still the limitation of these are the three legal things. You can do whatever you want to someone as long as it involves one of these three things. So when someone brings out a kendo stick, whacks someone in the head, and the referee just shrugs it off, I go, what the fuck is the point?
Technically, you can call it TLC, not tables, ladders, chairs. And
technically, you can call it a fucking hardcore match, because at that point, that's what it is.
You can call C for a cane. Just
shut up.
Just playing out.
The goddamn stupid booking is what it is. If you're going to have a match where those specific objects are what you're supposed to use, you use only those objects because anything else should be a fucking DQ. And if there are no DQs, if you can use anything, what's the fucking point of calling it a TLC match? Just bring it all to hardcore match, because that's all it is. You know, I have the same problem with a chairs match. Okay, if I hit someone with a kendo stick in a chairs match, is that a DQ?
Yes.
Okay, what if I hit someone with a chair, but it's below the belt?
Should be legal.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Low blows aren't legal.
What about if I use a guardrail during a tables match?
See, okay, I'm not gonna harp on that because the goal of the match is different. Okay, you had to put an opponent through a table, and it's like a last man standing. It doesn't matter what you do it with, you have to put them through a table. Because you can lay someone out with a fucking wrecking ball. You still have to drag their corpse over to the table and break the table with their body. So that one I will begrudgingly accept as no DQ because there's a goal. That's why things like chairs matches and stairs matches piss me off so much, because there's no fucking goal. TLC matches where there's nothing hanging over the ring piss me off for the same reason. There's no fucking goal. It's just a match with some extra toys.
Yeah, and unfortunately that's the way it's become, because the original premise of the TLC match, which, surprisingly enough, they got into quite well in the pre-show, with Mick Foley explaining the history of it, was it was because of the Dudleys, Edge and Christian, and the Hardys. Hardys used to like ladders. They did really well in ladder matches. Edge and Christian were doing their concerto thing at the time, and the Dudleys were putting people through tables. Let's combine the three. Let's just make all three legal for each team. That made sense. As time went on, it's just become another gimmick that really makes no sense whatsoever. It's just an excuse to beat the shit out of each other with limited options. Or so we think. But look, I'll give this match its due. It was good. Sure, I expected more after, you know, last month with the tease that we got and everything else that's been building up to it. I think they sort of pulled back at the last second. Ambrose is a fucking lunatic slash moron.
I will give it this. The kendo stick in the corner, one, I've never seen before. Two, I never want to see again because that was fucking scary.
Yeah.
Especially when you notice the end had split off at that point.
Yeah. That was very, very dangerous. But Ambrose doing like the jumping off the ladder thing twice, I think he should have left it as his big finish and that's it. Because that was your big bump of the match. The whole thing with the TV is where it pisses me off.
Oh my god.
Okay, I've seen TVs fizzle out. I've seen them set themselves on fucking fire back in the days of the old CRT monitors when one of the tubes would blow. You don't have something like that explode like it's out of a fucking Wile E. Coyote cartoon. That just made me go, wow, that's just fucking stupid. You know, they should have left it at that big spot where Dean just starts pleading with the Spanish announcer guys, please, can I use your table? I thought that was amusing.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That part was good.
And to be honest, when he went for the ladder for that final spot, how he went for the 25-footer, did you see the motherfucker that was next to it?
No.
It was like double the size of the 25-footer. I was surprised Ambrose didn't go over to the 25-footer, look at it and go, cool, I'll grab that, and then see the other one and go, no, I want that one. But then again, Ambrose probably thought safety first.
Oh yeah, because that's what this match screams to me, safety first.
Hey, it was probably the most tame I've seen these type of matches be in a long time.
Was it just me, or did Wyatt take like 90% of the punishment in this match?
He did.
Yeah, just
he
making
took
sure.
A lot of it.
Yeah, I was hoping it'd be a little bit more even than that.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping too. I was hoping for a drag out fight where both men would be absolutely fucking dead, crawling like, you know, a couple of disemboweled zombies to try and get the pin. But it seemed like we were starting to gear up for that, and then I looked at the time, it's like, it's 10 minutes to the hour, they're gonna fucking wrap it up in a minute. It's like I know these guys can do better. Like, they did good for what they had, but
yeah.
This was their opportunity. This was a match where these guys should have ended this night with setting the building on fire and walking away from the explosion like a badass in a movie. But in the end, we sort of got a slight fizzle, and they just looked at it and went, well, fuck, that fucked up.
I can't believe I have to say, with a straight face, that Dean Ambrose completely dominated a main event pay-per-view match. And I'll give him credit. Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt main evented a pay-per-view. Good on WWE. John Cena came out in the top of the second hour. Wow, it's different. Okay, so I'll give him credit. You gave the young guys a chance to shine at the end. But if someone asks me how the match ended, with a straight face, I have to be able to tell them Dean completely obliterates Bray Wyatt with countless jumps off of ladders onto tables. And at the last minute, loses because he forgot to unscrew a coaxial cable from a TV. Because if that was an HDMI or the AV cables, the fuckers would have just pulled straight out.
Yeah.
He lost because the TV's plugs were in too tight.
They lost because the TV was plugged in. And that was the whole thing. Like, the trigger was based on him pulling that thing so hard that it set off the charge of whatever was lying inside the casing.
Yeah, because I don't know if you know this, but they actually run on TNT and nitroglycerin.
Yeah, I know. I've bought Acme TVs before.
Yeah, someone in the crowd had a sign that you pointed out that said, "Hire Russo." This is the kind of ending that makes me think they did.
Yeah, and I can't believe for a second I actually contemplated that would have been a good idea. I know we try to find the bright spots, and, you know, Luke Harper versus Dolph Ziggler was that fucking high spot.
Oh.
Ziggler was the show stealer tonight.
As he should be.
Yeah. But when
Ziggler set the bar high, but it's also like a bully holding up, the kid's lunch money and making him jump for it. Kid's not going to get it back.
But, you know, here it is. A lot of wrestling fans been saying the same thing for many, many months. When are we going to see the newer guys get a shot? You know, when are they going to get the main event? When are they going to get the chance to be in the spotlight? Tonight was that night, and I hate to be Mr. Negative, but they fucking blew it. We should have opened this fucking night going, holy shit, Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose are fucking dead. We will bring you updates as the night progresses.
I will say this, the new guys performed really well. You know, for what they did, Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt played out fairly well. You know, the other side of Dolph Ziggler was Luke Harper. He did good for his first ladder match. You had a lot of guys going. You had a lot of new guys going up against seasoned veterans, and for the most part, holding their own. But none of the matches seemed like they were particularly well balanced. You know, there's something about Eric Rowan and Big Show that just doesn't work.
It's like watching Big Show versus Carly. It's like watching Big Show versus Mark Henry. It's like watching Mark Henry versus...
Yeah, it's two really big, slow guys.
Yeah, it's just two big hosses going up against each other in a stipulation that makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, and they can work good matches, but not against each other.
Like, I really wanted to like tonight's show, because all I heard since Thursday was the main roster's pissed off that NXT has gotten the reaction that it has. The guys that are going to be on the pay-per-view, they want to do better. They want to take more risks. They want to put on better matches. Yet when we get to the actual event, I don't know whether it's the booking or the enthusiasm died out, but we got something that is on par with, like, fucking the Great American Bash. You know, it was just... tonight was just a terrible, terrible pay-per-view. And it goes to show that there is a difference between internal brands of the company. And I'm not going to put it all on the guys in the ring. They did the best with what they could do. As usual, a lot of this comes down to creative. And putting stipulations where there doesn't need to be any. Why? Because we have a gimmick pay-per-view to do.
Yeah, I put
tonight was just a bad... this is like getting the check after a really good meal and seeing that it's like charged 10 times more than what you realized it was worth.
It's like settling for McDonald's and realizing you paid $30. It's just... Yeah, I put it in my little prediction list. None of these matches will touch half of what our Evolution did. And they didn't. Not half of the matches touched half. And Mace is right. Like, I can't put this on the talent. You know, here's a match where you go and beat each other with steel steps. Oh. Have fun. What do you do with that? You know, you can put the best actor... You put Jack Nicholson or Morgan Freeman in a movie. If it's written by Adam Sandler, it's gonna be fucking shit.
Yeah.
I like the first match.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's hard to really just, like, completely and utterly rag on this entire show because you have the first match, which was absolutely fucking amazing, that set a tone for the night that ended up not followed. And then you have a main event that, while it was, at least for me personally, underwhelming, they still put a good effort in. It's just everything in the middle just... I would have rather have gone to sleep.
WWE... Now in WWE shops, surplus black brass rings.
Yeah. You know, the box of brass rings that they just replaced after Thursday is now on sale. It's... But this is the whole thing with the whole brass ring analogy. And I said this as soon as fucking Vince said it on the Austin show. How are they supposed to grab at the brass ring when they're being held down by the weight of shitty booking?
Yeah, the brass ring isn't even on the carousel anymore. They can reach for it, but it's over on the fucking tilt-a-whirl.
Yeah. Alright. We have some sort of segue to make us happy now.
Yeah, can we rate this fucker and go to NXT now?
Rate the pay-per-view then. Rate it. What'd you give it?
I give it a D plus. One good match, one okay match, rest was dog shit.
I will be a little bit more generous with a C minus. No one did anything egregious, but this was nothing that I should see on a pay per view. This is Raw caliber stuff. This is free show stuff. You know, Ziggler bumps it above a D for me.
Well, Omega, you finished 7-2 in the pick'em. You led the way over everybody else. Good job.
Where's my ring?
It's back order. I went 6-3. Amy went 6-3. Yuli went 6-3. Lindsay went 5-4. Brent went 5-4. Chris Pierce went 5-3. Mikel went 5-3. Mace went 4-5. William R. went 4-4. Nicholas D. went 4-4. Rob went 3-6, and so did Subway. And apparently Tim went 0-9. Because he didn't make any picks. So King Kendrick.
Damn, I was about to say, holy shit, Tim fucked up an entire show.
No. King Ken's just wanted to write in that Tim went 0-9.
I got my hopes up, goddammit.
So that was the pay-per-view. I got this. So that was the pay-per-view. If you like it, you dislike it. To each its own. But everyone's in agreement on NXT TakeOver Our Evolution as a really, really good show.
Can I ask one question before we start gushing over this thing?
What?
What was the final score of the football?
So, let's talk about this NXT TakeOver show.
I'm serious, dude.
I don't know. I don't remember. It was like, I think it was 11 points, I think it was. I don't remember the exact final.
In Cowboys' favor, I'm guessing, considering you pissed. Okay, fair enough. All right. I just want to know the score.
No, I didn't.
Last I looked, you guys were up, so...
Right. No, I didn't catch the final score.
38-27.
Right, say 11 points. I didn't look at the final score. I saw Sanchez throw an interception. I was like, oh, shit, that... There was that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to... No, I was... It was literally last time I saw you guys were up.
No, I know that. No, I know that. I just don't. I didn't remember the score. I was moving on. So, we had the debut of Kevin Owens on the show, which everyone seemed to be impressed by.
They opened the show with his debut, which I thought was quite amusing.
You know, it's going to be good when the when the curtain jerker is the debut of the biggest indie star they've signed.
Which one? They've signed a lot of big indie stars.
I know lately, yes, they've been on a roll, but I mean, like, of the train of new talent, here's like the last one.
Yeah.
Apparently that match was really rough, that Owens got busted open and Parker were like split his hand open.
Oh my god, he Honda palm slapped him. Mm-hmm. Palm thrusted him in the face so fucking hard. Not only did it, someone said it broke his nose, but it looked like it hit the bridge. Mm-hmm. Busted the bridge of his nose right open so hard that it split CJ's hand to the bone. Owens didn't miss a fucking beat.
No.
God damn. Yeah.
You gotta remember, Kevin Owens, or as many people might already know him as Kevin Steen, used to wrestle in CZW. To him, bleeding is a normal occurrence. Which is why he's like, get the fuck away from me, referee. Just let me fucking bleed. I'll be alright. I took my tests. I came back positive. For something, I'm sure. But for a guy his size, though, he moves extremely well. And he's really fucking light on his feet. He's quick. And, as Rock said earlier in the night, everything led up to a dive. A guy Owens' size shouldn't be doing flipping sentons over the top rope like he does.
He reminded
me... makes it impressive.
He reminded me of a motivated type of Samoa Joe. When Samoa Joe first came in.
He sort of reminded me of a cross between Samoa Joe and Mike Awesome. Just in the whole, guys his size shouldn't be doing shit like that. Mm-hmm. Fucking Mike Awesome used to do flipping planches for a guy that's 6 foot fucking six. That's impressive shit.
So Kevin Owens wins in his debut. We had Von Villain.
Oh, with a goddamn pump handle neck breaker, which, oh my god, ow.
Yeah.
And a pop-up powerbomb that, again, ow.
The Von Villains lost to the Lucha Dragons.
I love the Vaudevillains. I don't care if the gimmick is fucking silly as hell, but that's what I love about it. It is a tribute to the heyday of when wrestling was a carnival sideshow. And you would have the guy with the one strap and the boxing gloves and the mustache and everything. These guys are just fucking entertaining. And that's exactly what they did in this match. Unfortunately, they had to go up against Singh Boccia 2.0, which, I just hope that at some point they decide to split Kalisto off and let the guy actually have a career. Anyway, Omega?
In between slices of pizza.
You too.
I was a fan of the match. No, I don't mind Sin Cara 2.0. It's an improved version. They got some of the bugs out. I'm not as exposed to the Vaudevillains because I admit I have not been paying as close attention. Mm-hmm. But we'll say. I love the crowd in this match. Because there's one spot that I thought was brilliant. Yeah, and it's where English pushes Gotch out of the way during the dive spot. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen that. I've seen partners push... I saw it tonight. I saw a partner push his partner into the dive to spare himself. I've never seen someone take both dives and save his partner. And I love the... on Gotch's face afterwards, and I loved Crouch chanting chivalry.
Yeah, that was good. So the Lucha Dragons still your tag team champions in the match the fans were most disappointed in, Baron Corbin and Ty Dillinger just for the fact that they thought, oh, it would be done in 20 seconds. And they had to keep counting and counting and counting for like a minute. They sort of
40 booed. Seconds, actually.
They sort of booed around 30. And it was like, oh, they're not finished yet? Especially when Ty Dillinger just stood there for like 10, 15 seconds. And Baron Corbin learned two new moves.
It doesn't strike me that Corbin actually is over with the crowd so much as the crowd's amusing themselves by counting out how long his matches last. You're right. If it goes any longer than 20 seconds, they start getting agitated at the count.
And the announcers were hyping this up. It's going to be so quick, so quick, so quick. And then they just sort of killed the gimmick there.
Well, you know, when you're expecting a match to go 20 seconds, you know, you only have so many digits you can count. That's why they get frustrated. They ran out of feet.
So, Baron Corbin beat Ty Dillinger. Bull Dempsey was in the crowd. Watched on. Looks like we're getting a Bull Dempsey-Baron Corbin match here at some point. Down the line.
I'm sure if somebody had a look at something called spoilers from December till January, we might find out more, but you know, we don't do those things here on
this
network.
I'm not trying to spoil the show, because we covered every Thursday on the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. The Ascension took on Hideo Itami and Finn Balor.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Nerdgasm.
Worth my $9.99 for that entrance alone.
The best part of the entrance was not him what he was doing. It was the reaction of the Ascension going, "What the fuck?"
Not like a funny
"What the fuck?" Just like, "What the fuck?"
Mm-hmm. It was like that head tilt, eyed wide eyes going, like staring at it, going, "What the fuck is that?"
I just watched something crawl out of a hell mouth.
I think we also had the first ever marking out chant.
Yes.
Marking out and we're not worthy.
Well, we've heard.
The crowd ran out of like shit to do to praise this guy because they blew holy shit in like the first 20 seconds of the entrance. Mm-hmm. And then just went on to everything else they could think of. It was that good. You just ran out of chance. We have to invent more to keep praising this thing.
And here's the thing. This is what I like about NXT, is that they love to use actual ring psychology. The Ascension were dominant through like the first 9 minutes of this match, and a lot of the offense was on Itami. Mm-hmm. So when Baylor got that hot tag, oh my god, the crowd had a collective orgasm.
I think one of the underappreciated spots, one of the better spots in this match was, it was something simple, and you knew the crowd knew what they were watching when Itami was teasing the GTS.
Oh yeah. I love that spot. I was like, oh right, he invented that, okay.
And they just tease it, which means at some point he'll actually pull it off. The finish was they went for Fall of Man. We had a Pele kick, and Itami pulled out the other dude from the Ascension. And then we had a double foot stomp on both men. That was your finish. Itami and Baylor win.
Really good match. Ascension getting the call up now. And getting triangle head paint. I don't know.
At least they're not squares?
I don't know. Nah.
Charlotte and Sasha Banks, NXT Women's Championship.
This match was better than most of TLC's.
This was better than most Divas matches in the last 6 months.
It was interesting to see Charlotte actually play the full-on babyface for once.
She's making that transition into a babyface type role, so I believe that's what they're looking at. That for her when she gets called up?
No, I think she's a natural heel, but
she is a flair.
She's a flair.
Right, but for right now, again, with the girls down there, she sort of needs to actually play the babyface role and Sasha was pulled off the Nature Boy strut right in Charlotte's face. That was actually pretty funny.
Sasha Banks.
Really good spots in this match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the head scissor into the lower turnbuckle. That just looked mean.
And you saw how athletic Charlotte was when she went for the moonsault, landed on her feet, and then quickly did the running senton.
Yeah. This is how it was pointed out to me. This match actually felt like the women were actually having a match. They weren't just going from spot to spot, and they weren't just standing in a specific way because it's their turn to take a suplex. Mm-hmm. It actually felt like a genuine match. Mm-hmm. You know, I would put that up against any men's matches that I've seen on Raw, even the better ones. Because it's not a good women's match. It's a phenomenal women's match, but even then, it's still a really fucking good match, period. No gender identity needed.
Mm-hmm. And even when you put the gender identity, you can see the difference between the women in NXT versus the women on the main roster. You know, it seems that in NXT, women are still treated as wrestlers, whereas on the main roster, they're just Barbie dolls that roll around in the ring and go, "I want that belt!" Great.
The sad thing is, for a while, it looked like they were trying. Because you had Paige debut and do well for a while. You had Alicia Fox develop her personality. You had the Bellas develop separate personalities. For a minute, they were trying. Now the Bellas are identical again. Alicia Fox is gone. I don't know what the fuck Paige is doing anymore.
Paige is MIA. Emma's probably back in prison.
She didn't steal anything, but the fucking dance.
Yeah, she never really had any coordination when it came to dancing, dude. That's not a gimmick, that's actually her. We used to make fun of her dancing in the early days. But yeah.
Amazing match.
Yeah, amazing match, and it was given, according to like the rundown I'm looking at, it was given over 12 minutes. That's like four times the amount of a Divas match is given.
The stat I heard earlier today, out of all four TakeOver shows, no Divas, or women's Divas match, whatever you want to call it, all of them were over 10 minutes long.
Yeah,
hold on. The other part of the stat is there's been only one match on pay-per-view this year with the women that has gone over 10 minutes. Can you name it?
I don't know, but I've got a feeling AJ Lee was involved.
Was it the triple threat?
No and no.
Hmm. This is going to be a very bad answer, isn't it?
Stephanie McMahon and Brie Bella.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That's your stat of the night, folks.
Yeah. I think that's mostly because Steph was stalling so many times.
But, you know, before we get on the final match of the night, this goes to show the difference between NXT and WWE. Well, the main roster, or Raw, whatever you want to fucking call it. There seems to be less filler when it comes to the matches. You know, sure, there's less promos as well, and less interviews, given that they've only got the 1 hour time slot. But my god, do they make the use of that hour? Like, 3 hours of Raw can feel like an eternity. An hour to an hour and a half of NXT can feel like 20 seconds. It is amazing how the two shows differ. But anyway.
Charlotte won with natural selection from the top rope. I still like Bow Down to the Queen better as a name for the move, but that's just me.
What I like about what's going on in WWE right now, like, you hear all the backstage talk about, well, the guy, you know, the guys in the main locker room go, well, these guys are just getting, you know, basically for a wrestler, minimum fucking wage. You know, and they're outclassing us in, you know, on their special events. And now here we have our pay-per-view going up. We're the top guys. We're making six digits. We need, you know, we're as good as them. We can put on matches that good. You know, like you said, we're all fired up because that's what we're hearing. Oh, this should be a really great pay-per-view, and it's, you know, fucking stuck up the joint. You know, and, but what I like about it is there's this rivalry now going on, you know, and it's what WCW envisioned the new blood to be. Like the old roster kind of getting fed up with the new ones. And it's creating like this like drive to go forward and this drive to actually get better and put on better matches on Raw, on pay-per-view, in a way that the original brand split never could. Like all of a sudden, it's not about having two different brands doing the same, you know, under the same umbrella. It's one brand is doing something completely different than the other. You know, here's a brand that's just kind of going through the paces and doing the thing they've always done. But here's this little group that's basically giving us high budget indie wrestling. It's modern, it's hip. The guys are young, they're hungry, they're extremely athletic, and it's motivating the guys who are up here on the main roster to actually up their game. And that's good in the long run.
NXT has become what is best for business. Speaking
Don't
about
say
best
that,
for
it's
business,
Triple H's project.
Speaking about good for business, your main event,
NXT Championship, Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn.
I don't know what to say about this. It's like,
all right, wait, let's ignore.
Oh
all.
My god! Holy shit! What the fuck?
All right,
ole ole ole!
Ignore all the spots in the match. Just go to the final 3 minutes of the match. The decision. Belt hit.
Oh
no.
My god!
Hit? No. Should I? Look no. It. No. Maybe. Kind of.
Oh my god. Everything Sami Zayn is doing in NXT, what Raw's writers have never been able to figure out how to do with John Cena. Every match John Cena has been in has been, you know, so many of his feuds are come to the dark side, give in, you know you hate these people, you know you're a monster. Hey, you can swing that chair anytime you want. It's so easy, John. But no one buys it. You know, you had one where there was a referee shouting to John Cena not to hit Bray Wyatt. Think about your legacy. Which, like, the ref became a therapist for a minute. And the crowd just kind of went, meh. But here you have Sami Zayn, who is legitimately an underdog, who's legitimately had the big match pulled from under him at all times.
A man who constantly does the right thing.
Yeah, he is the nice guy. You know, he's the hero. And the crowd, and the crowd cares about him.
Yeah.
The crowd is adamant. Don't hit it. Don't use the belt. Like, understand
and
this.
Leading into this, he had that moment where he snapped. And he leveled Neville with the belt. He was like, fuck this, I'm coming for that belt. You say I'm not aggressive, guess what, motherfucker, I am. Then when it comes down to it, you had that build-up of conflict, and you could see it in the way he stood, the way he looked at that belt, and then looked at the crowd, and looked at the belt, and you could see the conflict within. And the crowd was like, no, we don't want you to go to the dark side. Unless you put on a mask and become El Generico again. But that's a different story.
But it's a wrestling crowd. Now, normally they're hungry for blood. They're eager for this kind of thing to happen, especially when it's someone like Zayn, who everyone want, you know, they want him to be the champion. They want him to finally win. But he's done so well as the hero, as the good guy that, you know, is chivalrous and plays fair, and etc., and does what Cena's supposed to do. The crowd doesn't want it. You've made him such a hero. You've made him like fucking Superman, but not in a lame way. I'll say it again. Like you called.
You made him Superman in the moral sense, not in the superhuman sense.
Yeah, it's like he's the other half of John Cena. Because they run very parallel, but one's doing it right because one's going in the right direction to get that reaction. You know, to get bloodthirsty wrestling fans to go, no, don't use the belt. We don't want you to do it. It is amazing that they managed to get that reaction. And if everyone was written so well, we wouldn't have had a bad thing to say about TLC.
And yet, at the same time, like, you look at the outcome with this being, Zayn ends up dropping the belt, hits the Huluva kick, gets the pinfall. The crowd didn't give a shit about the fact that Neville lost, as they were chanting "Thank you, Neville." At the same time as, you know, chanting at Zayn, "You deserve it." They didn't care that this was sort of heel and face and any of that. They just saw a good match between two really good competitors, and they were thankful for it. Which is something you will never see on main roster. You know, you will never see something done out of respect that will get that type of reaction, because the crowd investment on the main shows isn't what it is with Full Sail University. And by the way, Sammy, if I have any words of advice to Sami Zayn, watch your language. Screaming out, "I'm the fucking champion," I think that might get you in a little bit of trouble with Vinny.
Vinny would have to watch the show.
That's a good point.
So the real thing came down to, okay, he finally wins the big one, and everyone comes out, big celebration, I guess, went off about 7-10 minutes, I don't know, it was really, really long. And Kevin Owens was the first guy to come out, and he celebrated, they hugged, they shared a moment, everyone came
out. They acknowledged these guys had a past in the indie scene.
They did, and they sort of did that in the Kevin Owens promos leading up to the show. Pat Patterson came out. Everyone was out, big old celebration.
I like how even the heels came out. You know, Tyler Breeze, who wasn't even on the show, comes out and he's applauding too.
I think he was the only heel out there, I think. It was like all the baby faces and Tyler Breeze. So Adrian Neville finally gets to his feet. He pushes away the hand, they hug, they have their moment.
I love it that he, well, describe it better than that, because it's a great moment.
Well, you do it then.
Okay, well, Sami Zayn's there. He's got he puts the title down and then extends his hand out to Neville to shake hands. And, you know, Neville's kind of eyeing around. You know, he looks frustrated and pissed off. And he kicks the hand out of the way.
Hug it up. Hug it up.
Hug it
up. Hug it up.
He kicks the hand out of the way. The crowd immediately starts booing, but within the same breath, he steps in and hugs the man, and they immediately turn back the other way.
So they have their moment. Sami gets to celebrate some more. Everyone leaves. Yeah, you know, Sami's on the outside. Kevin Owens comes back down. You know, one more congratulations. They're face to face. Big old, you did it. You did it. Congratulations. Congratulations. Raise the arm. And then the turn. And the way they did the turn is they put on they rolled basically their version of the credits with the little thing in the corner.
Yeah.
The announcer stopped talking, and then they did the turn.
Which is it's such a, because that when that bug appears in the corner, you feel safe.
you mentally and you also mentally check out, because
yeah.
I know, right, because we were going right on the air to do the show, it was like, okay, time to get something to drink and go do our show. And then I'm sitting here about to get up, and I wait, did that just happened. The turn actually happened. It was, that's great storytelling. They made you wait, go through the 7-minute celebration to give you the moment. You had to keep paying attention to it.
It was so well timed.
Like, it was, Owens hit Zayn with a clothesline, and it wasn't a fucking love tap either. This was, I'm going to take your head off and send it into the fifth row on the other side of the building type clothesline. JBL would have been a proud motherfucker. And then the powerbomb into the apron. Okay, a powerbomb into the apron would hurt normally. NXT has these LED fucking light strip things around each edge of the ring. Those things are held together by metal. It made it worse.
I don't think he ever actually hit that. I think he hit just the side of the ring. I think that's how high it... Did he?
Yeah.
I thought he got him up high enough on the side of the ring. But that even that still hurts.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way to really get out of that without being hurt in some degree. And, oh my God, the look on Williams Regal's face as Owens started walking up the ramp and just bumps past Regal, and Regal gave him the... I swear to God, if Regal did that death stare any harder, Owens would have burst into flames. Mm-hmm. And that's how they ended the show, was with them calling for the doctors to grab the stretcher to get Zayn out of the ring. And, oh, to go straight from something like, you know, to in the one night you had Owens debuting an impressive match against CJ Parker, you had Sami Zayn complete his quest to get the NXT belt. Now we're going into the feud of Zayn versus Owens. That is booking. That is booking's gold. That is here, take my fucking money. You know, straight from winning the belt, he doesn't even get a chance to do a celebration or anything. It's, we're going to have you get absolutely slaughtered after you've won the belt. And that's going to keep people coming back and tuning into the show. And overall, like, this show was at least an A-plus show, guaranteed. You know, there was, outside of the 40-second squash, every match was fucking great. And it showed...
I would take a Tyler Breeze match instead of Baron Corbin to bump it up to an A+, but yeah.
that would have been the A++, because, you know, Tyler Breeze equals the extra plus. But, yeah, you know, this is what people like in a wrestling show. You know, you have to... You have non-stop wrestling, very few promos, none of this overly goofy things with, like, general managers or any of that guest star bullshit. It is a good, solid hour of wrestling. You know, it's almost going back to, like, a decent heyday of wrestling, where you got good in-ring action, and that is what happened. Everything occurred in the ring. Mm-hmm. And it just showed how flawed the main roster's creative team is now. So yeah, I love this. This was a good show.
So there you have it. It's time for the final segment of the night. Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
We'll start with Mace. Mace, what is your favorite dessert beginning with the letter G?
Green Jell-O.
Why green Jell-O?
Because I like the taste of lime.
Okay, Omega, same question, but the letter D.
The letter D. I'm a donut man. We have a local donut shop that makes just like these amazing things. I'm not even going to call them donuts because they're godlike.
So Mega's a donut man. Okay. Mace, if you became a member of the WWE roster, what would your WWE name be?
I'm quite sure a lot of people, if you tuned in to any of the past WWE live streams that I have done over Twitch.tv and anything else that I've done WWE-wise in the last couple of years, play-wise,
not what you would call yourself. What would they call you? You know, what's the
name? Okay, what they would call
me. And what would your WWE name be?
They'd probably call me something like Donald Drongo or something like that. You know, because, you know, they took a guy named Matt Silver and turned him into Buddy Murphy.
Crocodile McGee.
You know what? Wouldn't fucking surprise me. Here's the thing. One of the first Australians to ever make it into the big leagues was called Outback Jack.
Or how about Aussie Adam or Blinky Bill? We've been given for you as well.
I was thinking
that's
Dingo Dundee.
That's a copyright. Yeah, that'd be a copyright issue too.
Dingo Dundee or Triple D.
Okay, Omega. What would your WWE name be?
What would they call me?
Yeah, I was going to ask you to explain Terfucking, but I'll let you do this one instead.
It's what you do after turn four playing.
Apparently, Mace, you would have bright red tights.
No, I don't. I got black trunks with the stars and stripes on them. But
it's not what the chat room said.
Well, I'm sorry, but they don't seem to know the gear they actually own, so fuck off!
Have we bought Omega enough time for him to come up with a name yet?
Alright. See, what they do, since I've already got a persona people know about, they would tweak it, so it would probably end up being like JT Alpha. Just swap shit around so it references me, but they could trademark it.
You think higher yourself now, don't you?
Yeah.
You gotta remember that before Omega would join the WWE, he would make sure to get TJ Omega copyrighted, wouldn't he? And wouldn't give them the copyright.
Apparently Omega Supreme is the name given. To you.
Oh, it's a transformer.
And Hasbro would be on their asses.
Oh my god.
Flies on a garbage can.
Use my ass for that. I haven't used Omega Supreme in a long time, though. That might actually clear.
Weren't they planning a re-release this year?
No. They re-released the old one in Japan, not in the U.S. And they haven't made a they didn't make a toy of that recently.
And for more toy reviews, you can go to what website?
TGOmega.org or TGOmega on YouTube, where I just finished 7 straight days of videos. I've spent the last 8 days either with my head in my camera's viewfinder or my editing window, getting about 4 hours of sleep a night in the process.
And where can they watch these videos?
TJ Omega on YouTube.
And they can also follow you on what? On social media?
Let's see. It's the TJ Reviews on Facebook and TJ Omega over on Twitter.
There you have it. We'll have Mace plug his social media stuff in a bit, but tomorrow night is the Raw Post Show live at 11:10 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Myself and Lindsay will recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, is another edition of The Rack. We'll recap TLC, NXT, and so much more. It's The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Send in questions for our Jingle All The Rack Christmas special for Ask The Rack. We want your questions. We'll answer them on the program for Jingle All The Rack for the Christmas week. You can follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Subscribe to the YouTube channel at YouTube.com/WTRTheRack. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is CB Radio. We're calling it That Damn Christmas Show 2. So we called it That Damn Christmas Show last year, so it's That Damn Christmas Show 2 this year. Subway is promising another round of 12 days of Christmas in some sort of fashion, and someone's already written us one because we gave people homework for the 12 days of Boston. So that should be interesting to read on the air as well. Follow that show on Twitter at CBRadioWTR and Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandanas. Check out the website, CBRadioLive.com, and also use the hashtag BlameRom. We'll be back Sunday night next week for another edition of WrestleTalk Radio Live at 10 p.m. Eastern. Tim Steiner should be back home and not sliding off the highway as he was this evening. So he'll be back, along with Omega Mace, next week to cover the week in pro wrestling. You can follow this show on Twitter at WTR Sunday and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. You can follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, as well as get the shows on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search WildTalkRadioNetwork. And on the go, when we're live, tune in radio. Get the app. It's free. Just search WildTalkRadioNetwork. Mace, where can people find your stuffs?
People can find my stuff on Twitter at TheMaceThing. You can also find it on YouTube at youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage, including a video which had me unboxing the box. That has been the box that was sitting in Omega's house for 1 year finally arrived with some very interesting results. So definitely go and give that one a check out. New content coming whenever I get games to review, which at the moment I've run out of games. People need to send me games. But you can also go onto the WTR Facebook page where I posted my Amazon wish list. Buy me something for Christmas because I'm a poor fucker. And Rock.
What?
Newsroom's over.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to end the show so I can go watch it. Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody. Welcome on the scene.